Check your boobs, the choice is up to you. So go ahead, give it a whirl. No more trouble and strife, it just might save your life. Check those boobs, girl.
Mother and daughter, progressive friends at podcast. And again, we're in a pub. I don't know what this is saying about us, to be fair.
Well, I have no idea. I can't even imagine how you should choose a pub, Becky. I really can't.
But it's these locations that just seem to be cropping up, and also actually part of our history in a way. There's actually, I was sat here the other day. We are at the beautiful Ashford Arms in Ashford in the Water, which is just outside of Bakewell. It's been newly refurbished. It's been taken on by a gorgeous guy called Rob Hattersley. And it was so weird because I've known Rob for a very, very long time.
Is it Rob that used to have the wines?
It's his dad had the wines,
oh,
Hattersley's
right,
wines.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From Bakewell, golly, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's all these things sort of entwine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've known Rob for a very long time, and he was like, you know, yeah, come and record your podcast here, and your guests can have a room to stay overnight.
Amazing.
In one of the...
How lovely.
I know. And also he's given us a room and an overnight stay and dinner as well to give away to somebody. For a bit of a prize.
Yeah, for a bless your journey sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. which is just lovely. So it makes sense to actually visit the place, you know, that has been so kind to us. But when I... things keep happening at the minute, right? Like how things are looping round. Because we came here the other day after we'd done the recording for the Check Your Boobs song.
We did.
So everybody sort of descended on here because it was only just up the road from the studios. And as I was sat with you and with Professor Evans and with Auntie Diane and all of these wonderful people that had taken part in that day, I looked over and I went, oh my gosh. I had in the end of my documentary, if you've not seen my documentary, it's called My Breasts or My Life. You can see it on YouTube. We had like a big dinner, yeah, that ITV sort of set us up on. And it was there. It was actually in this place.
It was. I remember that distinctly. We had an amazing night with that. It was the last night. And I always remember the end of that and you laughing your socks off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it ended, isn't it?
It was a wonderful ending. I mean, you know, the bit in the middle where you were so proud of your new breasts when you were coming round. And, you know, you won't believe this, but I think the first person to see Becky's new breasts was the hospital porter.
She's taken great pleasure in telling everybody about this recently. It's like, yeah, Becky was getting them out left, right and centre. But it was true. I want to do a bit more on that, actually, because I think, you know, along this sort of journey that we're on, people are getting to know, hopefully, you know, the listeners are getting to know us a little bit more and knowing what we're about. And, you know, we are about sort of sharing our personal stories and obviously sharing other people's stories combined with the expert advice.
That's right. And let me just tell you this. I don't know if you saw it, but I had a message from somebody the other day. She just had surgery yesterday, but she's got all her advice from our podcasts.
Yes!
The whole lot of her advice she's got from our podcasts, and she's raised, well, a friend of hers has raised £1,200 in about less than 2 weeks by doing a marathon in, I think it was in France, actually.
Amazing.
And she's just over the moon with what we've done for her. But, I mean, to raise money like that is incredible.
It really is. And someone asked me, you know, how do you measure the achievement of this podcast? You know, how do you put this into figures? And I said, I don't. I said, we measure this on someone saying, we've changed your life.
Yeah.
You know, we've saved the life. And that's in writing.
And I think I may have shared it with you, but I will make sure that you see that, because that's where she got all her information. She said she just did not get it from the NHS sources. It's all been from our podcasts.
And that is, honestly, that is so delicious to hear. And it just sort of spurs you on a lot more because, again, you know, I think when we first started doing these podcasts, we didn't realise just how much of an instrumental effect it was going to possibly have. And then the more we looked into it, the more I'm like, it makes sense, because when you go to the doctors, right, or you go in, you know, and this is no disrespect to our professors, because they're amazing, right, and they are doing incredible, incredible work, but they don't speak in the same language as a lot of us, do they? Do you know what I mean? And especially when you're facing something, whether it's a diagnosis or or even you sort of talking about your family history, half the time your brain does switch off. And you don't take in the information.
Well, I think that's the point, is that everybody said to me that when I explain to them how a gene works, and that, you know, I say, look, we've all got a BRCA1 gene, we've all got a BRCA2 gene. It's if you've got a spelling mistake, imagine that gene is a book, and it's got either a sentence missing or a spelling mistake, and it makes the book not make sense. And that's what happens in a gene, because of the errors in the gene, which is a good gene, it stops that gene from making the protein that protects you from developing breast cancer. Now, do you understand that?
That makes a lot more sense. I'm going to introduce our guests. You can't just throw them in at the deep end right now, Mom. Do you know what I mean? They're sat there really patiently. Bless them.
Let's carry on.
But it does. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I always use that analogy of, like, it's having a bent copper in your body. You know what I mean? Instead of protecting you from the baddies, he's letting the baddies in instead. Do you know what I mean? His trunch is not working.
In a way that actually really... absolutely
makes sense.
100% explains it. You can't see a gene, it's tiny, but the BRCA1 gene, in the amount of information it's got in it, is as big as world and peace. Now, I mean, just it's mind-blowing. You can't think of that. But if wherever the mistake is in the chapters or whatever, ours is so rare that it probably wouldn't, if there hadn't been 9 relatives, it would have been overlooked.
It's mad, isn't it, when you think about things like that? And we do have so many things to tell you about, because the progressions that have been made. I mean, you know, we've filled you in so far about the crazy bonkers world that is a musical that is coming, which is just incredible. We will be telling you about how we found extra family in America. Don't do it now.
Not doing it.
But we have found family in America.
And Canada.
And I think we found a relative that's been a bit naughty, and he's been found out possibly
now. Yes, we'll be investigating that further.
Just remember, genes are passed down. You'll get found out eventually. But none of this, the time, the dedication that we have to sort of put into it, and the fact that we want to get this out as much as we possibly can. You know, it's all right recording a podcast, but you've got to tell people about it and you've got to bang the drum about it. None of this could happen if it wasn't for our wonderful sponsors that have come along the way.
Definitely couldn't, because we neither of us get paid for doing this. No. And we just need the sponsorship.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got this wonderful Lucy. Yeah. Am I allowed to say
this? You can. Do introduce, because I want to tell you the story of how I met her, because this is it's ridiculous, right?
Well, we've got this beautiful girl called Lucy, and she's sitting right beside me. She's as beautiful inside as she is out. And I do seriously mean that, and I think you'll see it from the pictures. And actually, she takes after her mum.
She does take after her mum, because her mum, Marion, is here as well. Nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much. Well, Lucy, we've met before.
We have met before. Yeah, it's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for coming up.
No problem.
Welcome to the Ashford Arms, which is your haunt for the night.
Lovely. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Now, what is the most bizarre thing, right? And I'm going to say it, Lucy, I'm sorry.
Me and
my mum, right? Well, it's not that we don't like accountants, it's usually accountants don't like us.
Well, I always remember my accountant saying that I'd lost it on the kitchen table.
Well, I got you. Can you imagine? So I rather kindly got asked to go and do a talk at a very, very prestigious accountant's dinner, right? So I'm thinking to myself, what have I got to say? I'm this girl that turns up with a shoebox. You know, and they look at me and go, oh, for goodness sake. But I was there and I met with so many. It was inspirational, you know, and it was very female-led. And I did a talk about my career in radio, but also how it entwines with what we're doing with the podcast and, you know, sort of using, basically using your voice as a tool for others. And I went round to this table and there was this team of ladies on this table and I couldn't help myself, I sat down, right? Because they were having a right laugh, yeah. And straight away, what I could see was a team, very female-led team, but where everybody was so happy. And Lucy, that's your team from First Intuition.
It is, absolutely. It was quite an eventful evening. We weren't sure who this speaker was going to be that everybody was telling us about.
It's Becky off the radio.
Becky off the radio. I was like, right, okay. And once the evening was very much about women, which was fantastic. The president who was speaking at that dinner was really sort of flying the flag for females. And then Becky came on and spoke so honestly and emotionally. And I think everybody in the room was hooked. And then she flew around the room at 100 miles an hour, selling raffle tickets, raising money, fundraising for all the wonderful things that you do in the charity. And I think we just realised that, hang on, there's something that we can do here.
Yeah.
My team is 90% female. I have a personal connection to breast cancer. So for me, having a further meeting and follow up with Becky to be involved with this was a bit of a no-brainer, really. It was something that I felt I needed to do.
No, it's super, super grateful. And from the moment I met you guys, they made me feel so welcome, you know. And everyone took my number and then we were back in touch and I went and had dinner with Lucy and Natalie. Now, I'm going to stop gushing over you, but I think it's really important to say, and your staff have said this to me, of how wonderful you are. It's making me want to cry, but they do. And they say that, you know, going to work is a joy, and you have added so much inspiration and aspiration to people. That's incredible.
I don't take compliments very easily, so I will take that. I've learned to start to say thank you for people that compliment me. But, you know, we're a team. We call ourselves Team FI. You know, I can't do everything on my own, and that team has grown to 40 plus strong, predominantly women, and we train future business advisors and we train chartered accountants. That's what we do. But my student base, my client base, and my team across Yorkshire and Humber are of that age and of that demographic where they need more information about the kind of things that you guys are doing. They need to be aware of things to look out for, and they need to be aware of where they can get help. So, you know, as much as I have that personal sort of involvement and the want for me to get involved, actually there's a huge audience there that I think need to hear this message.
Well, that is absolutely golden. Yeah. That is the primary thing for us, is the fact that 97% of the population who carry a gene fault don't know. And so we've got to reduce that number dramatically. Yeah. And I'm going to live till I'm 137 in order to make that down to zero.
Fantastic.
Exactly. And but like I say, I always use this phrase, we are more powerful together. And whether that comes, wherever that comes from, you take it and you build your tribe.
Yep.
Yeah. And then between us all, as long as we've all got that good intention, we can't fail.
Yep.
And as you've just said, Lucy, you know, you were driven by a personal connection. This is where we bring you in, Marion.
Thank you.
As a very proud mummy.
Yes. Very proud. We've got two daughters and I'm very proud of them both. I think it's 6 years ago since I was diagnosed. So 5 years ago, as of April this year, I rang the bell.
So that was a
milestone that I was looking forward to. Obviously, it comes as a shock when you're diagnosed. And as much as you think about, am I going to live, am I going to die, has it spread, you think about your family as well, because it is on both sides of our family. My husband's mum died when she was fairly young with breast cancer. And then I don't think it was on my side until I got it myself. So I did know about the BRCA, but I didn't think it would affect us. You know what I mean? I didn't think about it too deeply.
No, because of you being at the age that you were when you developed it is not a particularly...
Yeah.
But I didn't realise that your husband's mum...
Yes.
Now, has your husband been tested?
No.
And would he want to be tested?
Possibly. I would think
and
so, actually.
And I can certainly facilitate that without any doubt. Because that is quite important. Do you know how old your husband's mum was when she developed breast cancer? Not when she died, but when she developed it.
In her 30s, I believe.
In her 30s.
Late 30s.
Well, that is important. That's an important revelation.
Yeah.
And for your husband as well, because the gene can affect men as well.
Yes.
Insofar as, it does give a slightly increased risk of breast cancer. Nowhere near population risk, even. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, very slight risk. But it does give an increased risk of prostate cancer, and he should be checked frequently for prostate cancer.
Right.
Has that been looked into?
No.
No.
Right. So is that a first for you to find that out, just from this chance?
By reading your book, I knew that the BRCA gene could be passed down through the male.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know it affected prostate either.
No. So... That's important.
So, so I found out
something. I think from a point of view of Lucy's point of view, there's not so much of a concern that you may have passed a gene down if you don't have any other family history.
Not that I know of.
No. And, of course, it can get hidden through the male line. Yeah. But, of course, we're talking of male line here with Lucy's daddy and your husband, that really, ideally, he could do with having a genetic test.
Okay.
Now... We can help you with that. You may not get it on the NHS, but we can get it to you very, very easily, very quickly, for a very small amount of money, £299 through Everything Genetic. And that sounds like I'm doing a plug for them, but it's not, I'm not doing it as a plug for them. I'm doing it as an information for yourself and Lucy.
Yeah.
And of course, your other daughter, but for your husband particularly, because he needs to be checked for prostate cancer.
Okay.
And straight away, because his mum was so young.
Yes.
Straight away.
That's why I picked up on it.
That is the risk factor.
In her 30s, it's very unusual. Now, I don't know if you've done any family tree on this. I mean, I did my whole family tree back to my five greats grandmother. That's how it was. Three rolls of wallpaper, tell you. Ridiculous.
My husband has, but not going down this route.
No.
You know, for the cancer route, we have got a massive downline now of, the family tree.
I can help you with finding out if there are any other cancers, sending off for death certificates, because it's all registered. My five greats grandmother death certificate showed breast cancer, and she wasn't, and that was, she was 75 actually when she died from it.
Right.
But, you know, which wouldn't have been a risk or thought of. But the fact is that coming from her, it's come down eight generations now because of Becky, which is a phenomenal amount of males that it's come down.
I'm just trying to think of the age. I know Malcolm was 16 when she died. I think she died in her 40s.
Yeah.
Don't be sorry at all. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt because I'm just trying to get in the mindset of your husband right now.
Yeah.
Right. In that... He lost his mummy.
Oh, yeah.
And then he has the diagnosis that his wife.
Yeah.
How is he?
I think he's okay now. It was a big shock, obviously, and I suppose it brought it all back to him as well.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, he's got a sister, we've got two daughters, we've got granddaughters, and it does make you think now. Mm. I'm thinking even more about it now.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I was stage 3... But I hadn't got any of this. Don't know. It was hard at the time.
Yeah.
But we got through it.
Of course, you look amazing. You know.
But it affects the whole family. It doesn't just affect the diagnosed person. It affects the whole family.
Yeah.
And we are a tight unit, really.
Yeah.
And although we live a long way away from each other, but well, not that long, but you know what I mean. It's, you know, it sort of brings you closer again.
You can see that, you can feel the closeness.
Yeah, yeah. But
do you know, bless you, darling. And, you know, I think, and thank you so much for coming and having a chat with us, because it is important to understand that perspective. You know, we can very easily kind of get lost in statistics and, you know, sort of the next steps. But, you know, I always say we're massively, massively grateful because of those choices we were able to make.
Yeah.
You know, getting into the mindset of somebody that is living, you know, with breast cancer and have gone through it. It's also really important to share those stories, because it's so that people don't feel isolated and don't feel on their own. Because coming back to you, I was just saying how it's so difficult, isn't it? You know, when you've got children, it doesn't matter how old you are, Lucy, you're still a baby.
Yeah,
and that's
she's my baby.
Yeah, she's your baby. You know, it's like, oh gosh, like you say, the mindset goes, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But because you're a mummy straight away, it goes.
Yeah.
To your children. And Lucy, you know, yourself, I know that you have, it has been at the back of your mind. And again, from a daughter's perspective, it's that whole, and I think it's something that needs sort of exploring, because the mental health side of all of this is hard. Yeah. And it's your first and foremost is your mummy and making sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
And when did you start to ask the question? Because I can imagine you didn't, and you were just sort of concentrating on her.
Yeah, initially, that's all you're worrying about. You know, what's going to happen? Do we need an operation? You're waiting for various test results coming through. You know, how's that going to affect everybody? Mm-hmm. What can we do? And there's not a huge amount you can do, because that treatment is an individual thing. But then you start to think, well, what are the chances of me having it and my sister having it, and then we've both got girls, and we filled out paperwork with family histories in of all types of cancer, because there are other types of cancer, not just breast cancer, in both sides of the family. And my sister's local NHS authority came back and said, yes, you are of a sufficient risk that you need to have a mammogram every year, even though she's under 50. My local authority said, no, we won't have you come. So I argued the case. I said, well, there's no difference here. We are, the histories are one and the same. So in the end, my local NHS did agree, and we both now have an annual mammogram. However, my concern now is that more risky than having a genetic test to tell me, you know, does that give me a better indication of my likelihood or potential risk? And then I wouldn't have to have a mammogram every year and wouldn't have to go through that stress of, oh, the letter's come. Right, now I've got to wait 3 weeks to go. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to be stressed when I go. Then I'm going to wait for my result. And then they call you back because they need to take another picture. And it can last for 3 months.
Yes, it can.
And you're stressful and it gets in your head. And all of those mental health elements that you don't get the support with are there as well. So
And even now... I've had a mammogram for the last 5 years, and now I feel that I need to now book one, because I haven't got one, you know, I don't get one on the National Health Service now unless I book one. So I need to do that, or, you know, looking at these other things that you've been talking about today as well, and mamma waves and things like that. You know, do I need to go through all that? I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping, because obviously we will be doing more on Mama Wave when it comes into the UK. And I've made it happen.
Yes.
Because I just do. Yeah. I do not take no for an answer.
No.
So if I have to do it myself, I do. But that, you will both be in our trial. Both
if
of you.
Would, if you want to be, obviously.
If you wish
to be.
If you wish. And obviously we'll be talking more about Mama Wave, but as a very brief overview, it's going to be available from the age of 18 onwards for anybody with a family history, because there's no radiation, 10% of the microwaves used in your mobile phone and sees through dense young breasts, which mammograms don't. So there's such a lot of benefit. But obviously, Lucy, with you having a family history, not necessarily on your mum's side, but more on your dad's side, which you may not have thought
never
about.
Never considered that to be the main risk before today. Never considered it as where the risk might come from.
Each time we do a podcast like we did with Colleen, and they were told they hadn't got a BRCA fault in their family. And I said, have you been recalled for a panel test? No idea what that was about. So each person, each time we do a podcast, we're uncovering something for that particular person they didn't even know about.
No.
So, okay, yes, we're discovering something for you, but that in turn is now being broadcast to other families in a similar way. So
but
just
why
coincidence.
Is this information not more readily available to when you go for a mammogram to even give you a leaflet or something that says, are you aware of this? Do you even just need to have a conversation with somebody to find out?
Well,
I mean, it might not be a thing for everybody, but why is the information and the education not there? Because I only learned a lot of this from when we were here a couple of weeks ago, having lots of fun filming the song. So that was the first I knew. And then I was straight on the phone to the mum going, did you know about this? Did you know about this? It's not just these genes. It's just... Well, you know, where would I have found that out other than getting involved with this?
Other than this, yeah.
And there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Exactly.
No, there isn't.
This is honestly what I feel is so important, because I've done my utmost for the last 31 years. It's 31 years now since I had surgery, and everybody thought it wasn't going to work. And, well, and they've not managed to get rid of me yet. But... for the last 31 years, it's been my mission to make people aware of the fact that it can be genetic and the fact that there are lots of options, not just having surgery like I did, but lots of options. And so long as everybody is fully informed about all those options, then the choice is up to them. Yeah. And it's not up to the doctors. It's not up to anybody else. It's not up to friends or husbands. Mm-hmm. It's up to the individual. And they need to know all the information so that they can make their own mind up.
And the point is, though, Mum, and this is where we sort of come, like what Lucy's just said, and the importance of doing what we're doing, right? And I mentioned this before, I mentioned it to you, Lucy, when we started doing the podcast, you know, initially it was kind of, let's share some stories, let's, talk about the journey. Very quickly we're going, this is important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm sort of learning, and I'm realizing, right, hang on a minute. Yeah, this information isn't going to get out there. And we asked the question, haven't we? We've asked the question to the professor, why isn't this being sort of passed down? Why isn't this? And they turned around and they said, it's only because of podcasts like this and potential storylines in soaps. Yeah. That we're going to get that word out there. Well, blooming heck. I mean, no pressure.
Yeah. No.
So, what as well, by having guests like yourself and having you guys involved, it's also helping us to understand, right, okay, how can we fix this? What's been your experience? What does need changing?
Yeah.
Because everything that we do is led by the lived experience.
Absolutely.
And you cannot get that from a doctor or whoever.
No, they've always said to me that, it's not, whatever they, geneticists have said, that whatever they say to patients, there's nothing like speaking to somebody who's trodden the path.
Yeah.
And that's the important bit. And the fact that a geneticist has actually even said, that they need to speak to somebody who's trodden the path.
Yeah.
And I think that is really... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quite a thing, really. And I'm so glad, well, not glad, but I am so happy in a sense that I've been able to give you some information today that you had got no idea of. And I'm looking at your face now,
know,
and you are astounded. Yeah.
Like a penny dropped, really. Why didn't we think of that? Because nobody had mentioned it before.
No, and why don't they mention it? Why don't they?
And also, I mean, my husband works in a hospital and... talked to various people in the hospital, and they knew, and not one person along the line has offered any counselling or help, advice
support.
to my husband, which makes it all like, well, hang on, there's more people involved. We should
absolutely.
We should be looking down that route.
Yeah, well, we need some time together, you and I. I mean, this is fantastic that this has come out in the podcast, but we definitely need some time together so I can give you all the information on where to go, how to get your test done. It's only a spit sample, takes between 2 and 3 weeks.
Isn't that amazing? But like you say, you know, it is that mental health side of things. We've got Lucy here, and we started this podcast by saying she's a businesswoman. She owns a company. You are a mother, right? You're also a mother, really, to your staff.
Yeah.
So you're orchestrating. Come on. I was listening to something the other day, Mum, and this really did make me laughing. No disrespect, guys, but it was Vernon Cave's Radio 2 show. And he was on about people being busy, 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 right? And he got all these callers on, and every single one of them was a woman. no disrespect, blokes. But you're doing all of that whilst at the same time looking after your mummy. Yeah, then also thinking about, well, what's this going to mean to me? Which then obviously transpires down to your daughter. It needs to be like, we see you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah.
We've got you. And I think we need to really build on that. And thank you for sort of educating us as well. Because we haven't, I mean, I know, Mum, you know, you lived through breast cancer with your own mum, and it was horrific for you. Yeah. And
funnily enough, I was exactly the same age as Malcolm when he lost his mum. He was 16 when she died. I was 16 when my mum died. She was old. She was 45.
Yeah. And I sort of sit here and think to myself sometimes, Becky, you're quite blasé because my mum's here, you know, and people will say to me, oh, weren't you brave and whatever? No, not really, you know, looking at everybody else, this was a piece of cake. So, you know, Marin, how are you? Are you okay? Do you know what I mean? How do you feel right now?
I mean, you're always looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, you get a twinge, you get something, you know, just an ache in that side, or I've had edema, so it's, you know, you're always thinking, what is this leading to? Am I okay? I had a lot of headaches, I had an MRI, nothing wrong. Is it in my mind? Is it, you know, you're always thinking about different things. But, you know, on the whole, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm not very even. I'm a bit lopsided. I know, I'm like you. The thing keeps dropping out sometimes and sliding down.
I know I've got a good husband. I know I've got
fantastic daughters. The family, we are close knit, and I think, you know, that has helped me through it.
Yeah.
But as I say, you're just always looking. Mm. You know, I'd had cancer of the uterus before, 10 years before that. So it's like, you know, what is there going to be another one?
Yeah.
Was the uterus, not ovarian?
No, it was uterus.
Right. Okay.
It was uterus, but it was contained. So
If it had been ovarian, it would have been a link.
Yeah.
But uterine cancer, along with breast cancer, is not linked from genetic.
You've been through that. I've been through that. That was a walk in the park compared to the breast. But yeah, I'm through it. You know, I have to say the breast nurses that I at Northampton General Hospital were fantastic. They were really, really good. And the doctors and all the departments, you know, they really were. But as I say, you know, it never leaves you. But I'm fine. I'm happy. You know, do the best I can. I like wearing bright colours. I like a bit of sparkle.
Yes.
And you have to live each day as it, you know, you don't know what's round the corner. No. So you've got to live each day.
100%.
To the full. You know, you have.
Yeah. You absolutely do, my darling. And listen, you know, your daughter coming on board and helping us do this, you know, we've already said how much this means. But I promise you're involved now.
Yeah.
Right? so get ready.
You are protected as you can be, because we will fight everybody's corner, because I always take everybody into my heart. For as long as they need me, they're there. And they have a piece of it. And if they need to leave it, that's fine. But it's there open for them.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I hope that does give you, you know, sort of some sense of kind of protection. But we're going to have some fun, you know.
Okay, good.
Is that all right?
I like having fun, Mum, don't we?
Like a bit of fun, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We've already, and you know, I went out for, I've not told you this, right? Lucy took me out for dinner.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. She
what time did you get in?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I left early.
Yeah. And I just knew straight away. And then, and straight away, do you know, she comes to this event. And I said, oh, do you want it? I'd walked in, didn't I, to the meeting. And I said, I've just been on the phone to Tony Christie. She went, you are? And I went, I know. And now he's going to check his boobs. Like, it's not normal, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know you've been on, you know, this journey. But I sometimes always think we can always find a light, you know. Yeah. And we can always find...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got the grandchildren as well. Yeah. And a great,
and a great granddaughter.
That's not old enough. I'm not having it.
But, yeah. So, yeah. But it's been great.
Keep you going, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And I think that's what you need. You need something to keep you going.
Yeah.
You know, all 100%. The time.
100%. Well, you're two beautiful people. Oh. And you really are, honestly. So you both sparkle. You both sparkle. You're going to be so lovely on video.
You'll be gorgeous. Well, Lisa, it's been absolutely amazing catching up with you. This is not going to be the last time, you know this. So this was probably just your warm up. Yeah.
Now you know what to expect.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
all right,
exactly.
No.
And Lucy, you know, we're going to be coming in visiting your work.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited about that. Get to travel up to. I'm coming to Leeds.
Leeds. Yeah.
So we're going to be seeing you a lot more along this journey. But very much and enjoy. Your overnight stay
Thank
here.
Thank you very much. Thank
Don't be getting
you.
Up That's to anything great. Naughty, you know. I'll have to report back. This episode of Mother and Daughter, Breast of Friends is proudly sponsored by First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, the premier college for aspiring accountants.